Good morning. This morning I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 to 16. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in the words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Just before we start this morning, the men's shed have been busy. This is the second cross we've made, and we've been asked by the Lockyer Valley Correctional Centre to make a couple of crosses. They've got a couple of chapels in the prison down there, and no crosses. And Chris Hall, hope he's here somewhere this morning, has offered. Has asked us if we could do this. We've got talent in the shed. So we've made two of these, and they're going to be displayed in the chapels down at the Lockyer Valley Correctional Centre. So, Chris, if you'd come up now, please. We'll present this to Chris. He can pass it on to the chaplains down there. And
A cross ready for Easter.
Just in time for Easter.
Yes.
Yeah, so let's just pray and dedicate this cross. So, Father, we thank you for the abilities of the men in the shed to be able to use the skills and the crafts that you've given them to make these crosses. And, Lord, as they go down to the correctional centre, we pray that the tough men that are in there will look upon this cross. And, Lord, you'll change their lives, that they'll come to know Jesus personally and hand their lives over to him, Father. And so these are just wood, but in the shape of a cross, such a great symbol, so much meaning. And so, Lord, we pray that as Chris hands these crosses on, that you will use them, Lord, to have a rich harvest amongst the men at the correctional centre. We just bring that to you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Yes.
As Fiona mentioned, it's Palm Sunday today. But I'm not going to talk about palms. I want to talk about butterflies. Is there anybody here that doesn't like butterflies? No hands, that's good. I'm on a winner. If we had butterflies here this morning, I'm sure they'd be all over these beautiful flowers. Well, aren't we gifted to have ladies with the skill to be able to bring those so beautiful? And just look at those this morning while we're speaking. But I want to talk about butterflies this morning. Now, Don't you just love the brilliant colours, so vibrant on the butterflies? Do you know that's not real colour? If you're lucky enough to have a butterfly land on your arm to suck up the sweat, well, men sweat, women perspire, I've heard. But I've had a butterfly land there and suck up the sweat off my arm. And could hardly feel him sitting there, but I could feel him. Brilliant colour. And I've picked up dead butterflies, and you get that powder on your fingers, and it's got the colour in it. Well, that colour, the colour on a butterfly, is actually made by microscopic little discs or scales. And it's how those scales reflect the light that gives them the colour. The butterfly itself doesn't have colour. God, in his wisdom, has made them look beautiful to our eye just by the refraction of light. Just thought I'd let you know that in case you didn't know. But I want to talk about butterflies, not so much about butterflies this morning, but wisdom. And wisdom of the butterflies. And in that reading this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, titled Wisdom of the Spirit, and after reading it, I asked God to teach me about wisdom. How often do, we come to God with our shopping list, tell him about how tough life is for us, and we bring that to God, but we don't hang around and wait for his answer. God doesn't answer straight away often. And so I want to just mention that later on, but the light's reflecting here on me. After reading that passage, yeah, I asked God to teach me about wisdom, because I know in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." And in James chapter 1, verse 5, it's amazing how these books of the Bible start off with good stuff in the first chapter. James 1, chapter 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it is given to you." And in the passage that we read, verse 7, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. And in verse 10, the Spirit teaches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, I know I have the Holy Spirit living within me, so I asked him to show me about the deep things of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gift that is given by God to us when we accept what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. It's a gift given to us when we acknowledge Jesus. And I know that I've done that, and I know the Holy Spirit is living within me, so I ask God to show me. I longed for a depth of understanding that perhaps others may not see. When spending time with God, I generally stay indoors, find a nice comfortable place, and I settle myself down, and I stay there so that I can concentrate on God. I find that being outdoors, there's too many distractions for me, even though I love being in God's creation. Being a mechanic, my ear is tuned into any engine noise that I might be able to hear, whether that be a car or a truck or a motorbike or a lawnmower or a chainsaw or an aeroplane going over the top. Even my attention and concentration is disturbed if I hear wind rustling the leaves in the trees. That's generally why I go inside. It shouldn't have been so, but it was a surprise to me that God actually spoke to me. It was a May Day long weekend. This is a few years ago. And we were having a retreat at a friend's farm out at Ravensbourne. Now, I was sitting in the sun out on their porch because it was cool. It's cool this morning. Imagine how cool it will be by May. So I was outside, not inside today, sitting there in the sun, playing the lizard, warming myself, reading this passage. And there was a large terracotta pot just nearby. It had a miniature mandarin tree in it. And several caterpillars were munching away on the leaves. I don't know how big a caterpillar's brain is, but I can imagine it's a bit like a seagull. Mine. I think the caterpillar was saying, eat. These caterpillars, there must have been, I don't know, a dozen of them, on the leaves of the tree, and they're munching away, doing what caterpillars do. One of them had obviously fallen off, and he had fallen to the ground, and he'd crawled back up on the pot, and he was doing laps around the lip of the pot. And since I'd noticed him, he was on his fifth lap, working hard, getting nowhere. A bit like mankind, don't you think? You know, we too have fallen because of our sin and separated from God, trying to find our way back. Lost, going around in circles. Now, I've found in my experience that if God's trying to teach me a lesson and I refuse to accept it, he'll say, okay, he'll take me off, we'll go around the mountain again, and again, and again, and he continues to bring me back to the same situation until I accept the lesson or learn what he's trying to teach me. Now, after reading and thinking about the passage, I ask God, where's the wisdom in the caterpillar? This bloke obviously never had much sense. Fifth circuit on the pot, getting nowhere. But he knew that he wasn't where he should be and he was trying to get back. Now, I ask God to teach me about wisdom. And after watching the caterpillar for some time, God showed me that wisdom is not so much in the caterpillar, but in the butterfly. You know, I'd been sitting there watching the caterpillar after I'd asked God to teach me about wisdom, and I'd given God time to answer. And he showed me that the wisdom is not so much in the caterpillar, but in the butterfly. We can still learn from caterpillars. Now, when the butterfly emerges from the cocoon, they live for an average of about 4 weeks. Some only live for several days. The lucky ones get to live for at least 8 months. But on average, 4 weeks, that's a butterfly's life. Now, the struggle to get out of the cocoon is what makes the butterfly strong. When he's struggling to try and squeeze out of the end of the cocoon, the struggle builds the muscles in his sinews and muscles themselves and in his wings, and it's the struggle that causes the blood to flow to the extremities of the butterfly's body and the end of the wings, building strength. Similar is in our struggles. God teaches us, uses that struggle to strengthen us and teach us perseverance and God's faithfulness. During the weeks of the butterfly's life, he'll flutter from bush to bush, flower to flower, gathering nectar with its proboscis and growing stronger. Now, during the process of this, cross-pollination occurs between the flowers and the shrubs, and this is necessary for the flowers to produce seeds for new growth. Now, John chapter 15 and verse 16 tells us we need to produce good fruit, fruit that will last. The butterfly may go to all types of bushes, all types of flowers, gathering food, but in their wisdom, they know where best to go and lay their eggs. Where the eggs are laid, that's where the caterpillar will be born and grow. The butterfly knows which plant will best suit the caterpillar, the plant where the caterpillar can grow and thrive. Now I ask God how I could apply this wisdom to my life. He showed me that he's like the butterfly and I'm like the caterpillar. In his wisdom, God knows best where to place me. It's my responsibility to grow where he's placed me. There's a saying, bloom where you are planted. Grow good fruit. The caterpillar is laborious in his work and he has total concentration on what he's doing. Eat, 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 munch. He's not distracted by other things. He's obedient. He remains where he's been placed. He's not distracted and does not wander off to other bushes or things. But in the caterpillar, there's an inner urge to push on to higher things. Now, I guess this is similar to the feeling that something is missing in our lives and an urge to find it. Many try materialism, alcohol, work, 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 leisure, even sexual pleasures, and try to fill this void. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. It is only in Christ that we realise that that empty feeling is a space that only God can fill. As the caterpillar was trying to find his way back to God and the security, his way back to the security of his tree, we are trying to find our way back to God. Isaiah 53 verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray, gone our own way. Let's change gears a little bit here. We are responsible for the way in which we live. Now, this responsible living includes the ability to develop and maintain healthy, constructive relationships with God, family, and friends. Growing spiritually, professionally, and intellectually on a consistent basis. And three, the integrity and financial discipline, as well as the rewards associated with each. We need wisdom to do those things. Talking about wisdom, we need to have wisdom in our homes, in our professions, and in our leisure, so that our time is not wasted. Wisdom is more related to the day-to-day activities than our intellectual stimulation. Simply defined, wisdom is being skillful and successful in the art of living. This way we live on a daily basis, or the way we live on a daily basis, is what certifies our level of wisdom, not the amount of certificates on our walls. As a caterpillar toils away and builds a cocoon, he strives for higher things, knowing that when he awakes, he will be a butterfly, having greater wisdom. Here's Faye's word, metamorphosis takes place. As we toil away at the task God has given us, we know that after we pass through the veil of death, we will morph into spiritual bodies and will be with God forever. The scripture actually tells us we'll have new bodies. I think we morph in some way. We will reap the rewards of our labours while here on earth. Now Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weak and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. In Colossians chapter 2, there's a good section too, starting at verse 2. Be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want wisdom, meditate on that verse. It is in knowing Jesus that we come to a deeper understanding of the things that are going on around us. Jesus gives us discernment. Finally, in Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 26, from one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times for them and the places where they should live. God did this so the men would seek him. God has determined where we should live. As the butterfly determines the best place to lay their eggs, the best place for the caterpillar to thrive, God has placed us in the best place to serve him. Thank God that he's placed us in Australia with all the freedoms that we have. We are truly blessed. In closing, we should follow the wisdom of the caterpillar. Work diligently. Bloom where we are planted. Perform the tasks that God sets before us. Good works prepared in advance for us to do with God's help. And as we get older, we can build a cocoon or a retirement home, and when we are done, wake up meeting God face to face. Now, if you haven't already given your life to Jesus, now would be a good time to do it. To gain wisdom and knowledge, come to understand the deep things of God. If you feel that you're a bit like the caterpillar, you've lost your way, or your life's going around in circles, then come. As we stand and sing our last hymn, come to the front, we'll pray with you. Come and join God's family, that Jesus might impart you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and that you will know for certain your destination when you go to be with the Lord. Amen.